is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's going to bounce down. It's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 p.m. You're listening to the Unused Substitutes, your green and gold gospel, your Rowdies Talk Radio, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm already losing it because I just thought of something during the intro there. My name is Matt, as usual. Hasn't changed, as far as I know. On the other end is a guy who, unlike most of the people in our intro, is still part of this program. Dan, how you doing?
All right, I guess. I suppose I'm alive. I'm well.
I mean, like, the only person we know for sure about in that intro is Neil Collins, right?
I mean, he's not even playing anymore, so we might need to revamp the intro after, you know, this once we make some signings.
That can be our throwback Thursday. Well, they got to score some goals first. We have to get some calls on them. Yeah, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. Like, they were really nice in putting all this news out before Wednesday night at 8 p.m. this week. There was a lot of stuff that came down about 5 days ago, last Friday. And then some stuff that there's the other news today. With the closing of the sale, the finalizing of it, so let's hop right into it. Like, if you're coming here tonight for like playoff discussion or something like that, you know, go, I don't know, take the garbage out or something, because I don't foresee us getting to any of that tonight.
I do have one thing to say. Cincinnati still has not won a playoff game. Okay, moving on.
Oh man. You know, I think it's curious that yours and Mike's like conversation, in which no one else out of the two of you were tagged in, it got so much attention when basically the same comment from the Richmond Kickers supporters group had no replies at all. Weird.
I mean, I'm a notorious Cincy fans follow my account, and I'm a notorious Cincy troll, so
let's clear that up. Cincy fans hate follow your account.
Yeah, I don't even think they follow. I think they just watch it to see like what thing I said that they can be angry about next.
Well, we're gonna do our best to be professional, even though we're not professional. We don't work for a professional team, and also to conserve our energy in order to make everyone somewhat happier. Oh, what are we gonna get to first? Let me look. What did I put in the notes? Oh, I guess we'll start with today's, and we'll just work backwards. It's official. The sale to the Rays has been finalized. We welcome our new aquatic overlords. Press release today came out a little bit earlier this afternoon. With the 2018 USL season in the books, although a couple teams might dispute that, a new chapter begins for the Tampa Bay Rowdies as the sale to the Rays has been completed. Today marks a new era in Tampa Bay Rowdies history, said Vice Chairman Matt Silverman. We are excited to embark on this journey with Rowdies fans from across Tampa Bay and look forward to building enduring relationships with season ticket holders, corporate partners, good Lord, and all supporters of Rowdy Soccer. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I just want to get these quotes. The first kind of big thing they mentioned in here is the Saturday morning market, which is ongoing now once again, starting on November 3rd and continuing during the first Saturday morning market of each month. The stadium will be open to the public for family-friendly activities and live games streamed from around the world on the video board and concourse televisions. More info about specific programming will be made available as the date nears. I can't read anything today. This is horrible. The expansion of the Saturday morning market into Al Lang will be an added benefit to an already energized downtown St. Pete, said Vice Chairman Brian Auld. It allows fans and citizens access to family-friendly activities during the most beautiful time of the year. I'm kind of good with that. We didn't get a ton of opportunities to sit there in Al Lang and enjoy the cool weather that hasn't gotten here yet. So getting to do that on a Saturday morning, I've gone to like one or two of the Saturday morning markets. I'm going to come up for some, most, all, I'm not sure of, these soccer market Saturday things. What do you think?
I think it's really cool. And I think, it's amazing that like we, in the run up to this day of officialdom of Rays taking over, we the one thing that's been said the most is the Rays have been masters of the of fan experience and stuff, and here they are today already announcing initiative to get people into Al Lang even when there's no rowdy soccer going on. It's a fantastic idea. It gets people into the stadium and watching soccer. So maybe like a Saturday morning, it's probably EPL, maybe some Bundesliga as well.
I'm going to guess.
So you're going to get some of those international soccer fans that maybe have never been to a Rowdies game in the stadium to see the stadium and surrounded by rowdy stuff. And it's good marketing. It's brilliant. And this is a great idea, in my opinion. I love it.
Hopefully, I don't know if they'll let you bring in a tailgate chair, if they're going to have chairs out there so you can sit and watch the games especially if you're in that concourse area. I'm guessing if you're watching on the big screen, you'll either be in the stands or maybe they'll let people on the field. I don't know. But it's kind of cool. I mean, they get a huge market out there, a huge number of people out there for the Saturday morning markets. And I'm sure you'll have ticket reps out there. You'll have maybe some players out there and kind of make that connection between players and fans in the off season and bring some more people in. I think it's pretty cool. It's definitely going to work it's definitely going to be kind of targeted at the people in St. Pete already, expanding their grasp of people in St. Pete. There might be a handful come over from Tampa or like me coming up from Sarasota or you from Pasco to maybe check it out, but I'm sure they'll have other things going on in different areas around the bay, I would assume. They also announced for a limited time, fans who place a $100 deposit towards a 2019 season ticket will receive $25 in Rowdy dollars to be used in the team store during the month of December. So you can go, you can do your Christmas shopping, I guess.
I don't think my family would be very happy if I bought them all Rowdy's gear.
No, just buy it for yourself.
I mean, I do that anyway. That's how Christmas usually goes.
Yeah. So really you're putting $75 down. You're getting $25 to use for free at the store. So that's not too bad. This is the part you'll like, Dan. Ticket sales representatives are diligently working to contact season ticket holders. Well, I guess maybe it is because you didn't have tickets last year. It won't really apply to you. But maybe you'll get a call this time to discuss early
doubtful
renewal benefits for the 2019 season. I bet you do. I'm not going to go bet a lower back tattoo on it or something, but I bet you do.
We'll see. We'll see.
And I was going to put this out there. I meant to tweet it, but I'll do it after the show. Now that this takeover is complete and we know who our new overlords are, we'll extend to them the same offer that we gave to Bill and never really got used, but open an invitation anytime you guys want to come on the show, because I know they're sitting at home listening right now. Anytime you guys want to come on the show, just get in touch. We'll be happy to let you on, let you talk to the fans kind of directly through our platform,
I guess.
Anything else on that?
No, that was great. the Rays era begins. Let's do it.
Do I have to get the cowbell and ring it right now or something?
Yeah, we should have probably planned that. We should probably like do some real show prep and have like gimmicks. But no, I'm just kidding. No, don't do that, please.
You got that? I gave you that software. You could put like a cowbell sound in there.
True. I should, you know, do that, but I'm not going to. We don't need to be a morning zoo, as fun as that might be. I would get carried away.
Hey, it's Jimmy and the Douche coming to you live. The morning zoo. All right. The next up. We led off with the fun or, you know, upbeat news. Now the not so fun news. Last Friday, in two different press releases, they announced departures of players, including the infamous like 5 o'clock on Friday announcement. Whether it was intended for that or not, it certainly gave off that impression of let's bury this on a Friday afternoon. It did not go. It was not missed. We'll say that. Rowdy's head coach Neil Collins has met with every member of the 2018 roster to review contract options and statuses, with 10 players now set to depart as free agents. The following 10 are out of contract and are free to sign elsewhere. The goalkeepers Akira Fitzgerald and Cody Mizell, defenders Kyle Porter and Zach Portillos, midfielders Lance Roseboom, Martin Vingard, Michael Nanchoff, Alex Morel, and Junior Flemings, and forward Jaime Chavez. Let's save the other one for his own bit.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this?
Not too surprised. I think Junior Flemings is the only one I'm like devastated about. I thought he had a lot of upside under Neil Collins. He was involved in most goals and assists there for a bit. So I don't know. I mean, it's as it says here, you know, like they're set to depart as free agents. They can sign, they're free to sign elsewhere, and that means anywhere, and they can sign here still if, you know, something works out, better offers, things like whatever. But I wouldn't hold my breath there. I'm a little mostly, you know, like Nanchov, Morel, Vingard, Portillos. They've been here a while. Nano's playing playing time tailed off. Portillos, he was in and out due to injuries and whatnot. And we saw with the goalkeeper situation, Cody and Akira got chances and flubbed them and were yanked almost immediately, like the next game. So I'm in Lance. Lance is a little shocking. His time here was abbreviated due to injury. But I'm not too, and Vingard, he never really got to a chance to make a full mark on the squad. But I don't know, man. It's going to be a painful transitional offseason, and you never want to see some of these guys go. I mean, you don't really want to see any of them go. You get kind of attached. You know, I have a signed Zach Portillo's jersey in my closet and next to my Juan Guerra jersey, so I'm batting 1,000.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Oh, I just got a signed jersey this year, and you can guess who it is. We'll get to him in a minute.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, it's part of sports. That cruel part of sports. So I wish these guys the best. They were, they were great while they were here. I enjoyed supporting them. They were all class acts. So let's move. Let's see what the future brings for all of us.
Yeah, I, as a fan, like there's some names on here I don't want to see go, but at the same time, that's the reason we don't get to make the decisions. This is a team that had very high expectations, even after that 5-game stretch where we lost every game and didn't score a goal. Like on paper, it was still seemed to be one of the most formidable rosters in USL, and there were a ton of injuries and a ton of player movement, kind of a during and after Neil's takeover. But still not a team that you would have expected would have been struggling and trying to play themselves into the playoffs in the last, 2-3 weeks of the season. So as a fan, like I've got, good memories of a lot of these guys. I hope, you know, like you said, wish them the best as they go. So they were absolutely great while they were here in terms of the way they represented the team on and off the field. I don't have any complaints about any of that kind of stuff. The two I'm really kind of, I'd say, most shocked by. Well, I mean, I'm not really surprised by any of these. Like, you see how the season went, and like you mentioned, playing time, like that's a pretty good signal of what's likely to come. So I'm not very surprised by any of these. I guess not shocked, but there were a couple surprises. Like Junior Flemings, I thought would be around for another year, at least. You know, he was a guy that we were hearing about him from people before they announced a signing, and everybody seemed really excited about him and kind of got off to an uneven start, but as the season went on, kind of played his way, you know, kind of became somewhat of a fan favorite. I know there were lots of people, anytime he didn't play or didn't start, asking why, and seemed to have stepped up his play during the season. And honestly, I thought Jaime Chavez might get a run, like a full season run, before making a decision. So, you know, whether it's up to him or wasn't, or you know, who knows? I don't know. But like they said at the bottom there, we're going to wish them the very best as well. You know, Nanchoff was involved with TBU in coaching. Does he stay here and keep that up? Does he try and get a playing gig somewhere and maybe split time back and forth? I don't know. It's some of these guys are going to have some other factors going into their decision making. And I'm not going to talk too much about some of them because we're going to hear from Neil in a little bit, and he's going to talk about some of it, and we'll kind of throw some other thoughts around after that, I think. Ready to tackle the big one?
No, I will never be ready for it. This is a day, and this is a thing that, like, you saw coming, but never actually thought would happen.
4:45 p.m., Friday, October 19th, 2018. After six incredible seasons, Georgi Ristov's time with the Tampa Bay Rowdies has come to an end. Ristov is out of contract following the conclusion of the 2018 season and will not be offered a new one. The Bulgarian forward departs the Rowdies as the club's all-time leader in goals scored with 60 and modern-era record holder in appearances with 173. Neil has a couple quotes about him, but most people who are listening to this have probably already read it. He's going to have some other things to say shortly about him. The one I want to get to the bottom here, the Rowdies will honor Ristov's service with the club in the 2019 season. This is another one I'm not completely shocked by it, especially when he got injured late in the season. I kind of almost had a feeling that was going to be the last time. But still, like you said, like it was easy for us to get on here last week and say, you can't make these decisions with your heart. You have to go with your head. But then it turns into Georgi, which honestly we may have all been kind of thinking was going to happen. But when it actually happens, it's still like it's a gut punch. You know, he's a guy that every year he was here, except for one, was the leading goal scorer, except in 2015. But that stat's a little misleading, I would say, especially if you look at this year's overall team stats. You know, I remember him coming in the year after he won the championship. He scores the goal that beats Seattle Sounders at Al Lang in the Open Cup. The hat trick in Fort Lauderdale. FaceTiming Dacia from the field after the end of a game. I was talking about trying to do like a top 10 Georgi moments. And I don't know, like we could do a whole show on Georgi moments, I want to say. You know, had a career high 15 goals last year, seemed to like not be affected by age. And now the club's got to do the one thing that honestly, I think they've been trying to do for years is replace him, but they haven't found anyone who can. And now they've got to. This is, you know, you've got to go out and you've made this statement that you're not going to bring him back. You've got to put something in his place. You've got to replace those goals. We didn't score a ton of goals this year, but, you know, most of them, he scored more than any other player, but, you know, still not a ton. It was less than half of what he scored last year. It's a big thing. I mean, the stuff he did off the field with Cole Eicher, with Goal Together, the stuff he's done in the community, like This is a hard one. It really is.
I still haven't fully come to terms with it. Like I tweeted recently, I feel like I'm back in middle school or elementary school and your best friend's moving away. And because it's, you know, obviously their parents are moving and taking your favorite best friend with them. He's what put my butt in a seat, right? Like, he was the first Rowdies player I knew. He was the only consistent Rowdies player over the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, and he was there in the big moments. And then as close as, like, this club is to its fans, getting to know Georgie, like, the talks at the kickoff parties or post games, and like you said, without a doubt, the smile on the man's face, FaceTiming Daisha when she was in Ohio, because I asked, like, it's things like that, like, just, and, you know, he's probably racked up the most yellow cards for dissent in history of a league, but, he's just so, like, just a class act off the field. I mean, as soon as that whistle blows at the end of the game, he's just a completely different guy. He's just one of the nicest guys you can meet.
I go back. You know, it turned out to be the last game he was on the roster for, at least. But the last home game of the season. He's injured. He's not going to play. He's not even dressed. He's not, you know, dressing for the bench or anything. He's in street clothes. And most of the guys, when they're not in the 18, they go, you know, kind of wander around before the game, make their way to the stands and watch the game from there. Georgie's out there, like, at the player entrance to the field, high-fiving the players and the kids as they're coming out. For the introductions, and then he spent almost the entire second half, I want to say, over in the sidelines, just hanging out with Cole Eicher and talking to him during the game. Like, even though he knew he wasn't going to play, he's a guy, and you know, we've always talked about who should be the captain. Like, he was doing captain things, and he kind of always, I think, you know, there's always been the captain, but Georgie's always been the heart and soul of this team.
Yeah, I mean, he's been the face of this club for a while. He's been, again, the one constant through the years, which there's been some change. And, you know, he's just so dang likable and so much fun to watch, and sometimes frustrating not to watch. But, you know, like...
But that's part of what makes you love him, because when it pays off, it's so good.
Right. I mean, I just can't... It's going to be a weird year, like, and it happens. I mean, it especially in lower division soccer. You can blame the Rays all you want. This was going to happen whether Bill Edwards or the Rays was in charge of this team. These changes and everything like that. It needed to happen, transitional year. But, like, I don't know, man. Neil's is going to reshape this club. And, you know, maybe Georgie comes back in a different capacity in a year or two or something. But, you know, Georgie's not young either, right? Like, he's a year younger than me, I believe. He's 33,
mm-hmm.
Which is just weird to me. But anyway.
Yeah, try being my age.
I'll get there in another 20 years.
Yeah, that... And, you know, I also meant to say at the beginning of the show, if you're coming here expecting, you know, the... level of discourse that you find in Facebook comments on Rowdy's posts these days, yeah, that's not coming here too. Like, I understand the sole purpose of Facebook is to see who can get the most outraged and the most upset and the most shrill about conspiracy theories the fastest. And things were really ugly. And I don't blame anyone for being upset. I'm upset too, even though I kind of had an inkling this was coming. But if you just... sit back and wait and see what happens. I mean, all these moves were made last week, and today the deal was finalized. So how involved were the Rays group in personnel decisions on last Friday? I don't think that much. I don't know, but I don't think they were that much. I mean, when you listen to Neil talk, and some people will say he's just saying what the bosses are telling him to say, I don't get that impression that Neil's that kind of guy. But I mean, people are going to choose to believe what they want to believe. But yeah, at some point, there's going to be change, and I'm seeing, you know, people saying, you know, well, now I have to go find another team to cheer for. Well, if you're coming to the stadium for one specific guy or, you know, someone from a specific part of the town, then you're not coming for the right reasons, because you can go out there and win a championship with 18 guys that you don't know. And that's kind of the overall goal. So, you know, it's nice to have guys that are around for a while, but the problem with having guys that are around for a while is that eventually they're going to leave and it's going to suck. And it's something that we've got to, you know, go through and process. And everyone's got different ways. My way is definitely not the Facebook way.
I think I've made the mistake and read some of the comments. And first of all, to the point of, oh, well, the Rays own it, so this was going to happen. Like I just said, it was going to happen. Under, do they not remember 2015 when we only kept, I think it was 8 people at most under when we hired Rangan? And we got rid of almost the entire roster. We did it under Bill Edwards too. Guess what? Transition years happen, especially when you fail to meet goals. The Rays, yes, are the officially today the new owner. I don't think they just all of a sudden went, okay, cut everybody and we're gonna, you know, moneyball this now. I think they went, okay, we signed the paperwork, you guys do your thing, you know, we'll sign off on what you do, this is your budget, and then that's it. I really think that's it.
I think there's also a lot of misconceptions about what players on the Rowdies were earning. Like, you could probably find several guys on the Rays who made more than the entire Rowdies roster combined last season. So to say, oh, they're just going cheap on it, cheap at a Major League Baseball level is still like a millionaire at USL level. Like, don't confuse yourself about, you know, these guys. And you can just tell we're out there in the parking lot watching them show up 4 and 5 in a car. These guys aren't driving, you know, brand new sports cars. And sometimes they're rolling up with their families and stuff. Like, they're not making a ton of money, which is a topic for another day, but that's not what's going on here. Like, it's
two separate pots of money. Like, this is what people don't understand. Like, they're two separate businesses. Like, if I'm a business owner and I own a McDonald's over here and, I don't know, like a bookstore on the other side of town or in the same neighborhood, I'm not taking bookstore money to buy, I'm not taking French fry money to buy book. You know what I mean? They operate separate. They're separate entities. Just because you own two things doesn't mean the money's all pooled together and it's one budget and this, that, and the other. It's not. They're two very different things. And any smart business person is going to keep them as separate financial entities so they can, especially a sports team where, you know, they require different investments, market analysis, and all of these things. So stop thinking that they're just because we're owned by another sports team in the same city that it's going to be all the same stuff. Okay, like, let the Rowdies people do the Rowdies thing. The Rays people are going to do the Rays thing, and they probably, again, said, here's our budget, here's your budget, you do your thing, and let us know what we can do to help, and that's it.
I mean, the one exception, of course, is the Buccaneers and Manchester United, because every time the Bucs sign a player, that's another reason why United can't bring Ronaldo back or sign Messi, obviously.
Well, here's the thing, right? So Manchester United is, what, the richest, one of the richest, top three, maybe, if not the most profitable or richest clubs in the world?
Right.
So why aren't the Bucs, like, you know, spending up to the salary cap? If you could just take the Manchester United money and throw it over here, they should do that, right?
Just plop it all down.
Yeah.
I wonder if they've taken the Wayne Rooney jersey down in the owner's box now that he plays for DC United and not in England anymore. Random thoughts I have. Anything else we want to say about the... Well, I did want to say this. So that last line said, the Rowdies will honor Ristov's service with the club in the 2019 season. There's been some impromptu tributes paid online in the form of videos and pictures and memories and stuff. Whatever you do, hopefully whoever is in charge of arranging this, don't retire a number. I saw some people saying it, and we know they've done it in the past. How are you going to retire the number 10? Like, that doesn't work.
No. Okay, don't retire numbers. That's so... I get wanting to honor him. He deserves a spot of honor. Do something, like you said. I saw it tossed around in your mentions about, like, hoops of honor. Like, you know, create something. But retiring jersey numbers, especially an iconic number like 10 in soccer, is just ridiculous. Find another way to do it. Bronze his boots or something. Like, ask for a pair of boots and bronze them. Put them, like, in, you know, on a... What is it, like, Yankee Stadium has their, like, legends, their Hall of Legends or whatever, Field of Legends, something like that, where you walk around, there's busts of players or something like that. Do that. Bronze some boots, put them in there, you know, like, and just do a little in the stadium, have a place for the two numbers we retired in, like, for Georgie. And, you know, like, do something like that. Just don't retire. Retiring numbers in soccer is not a good idea.
Honestly, I wish they'd unretire the other numbers and find another way to do it. I mean, first of all, that whole area out there is kind of it's beaten down. The banners are all faded from the sun. Like that whole thing needs to be revised, renewed, whatever. But yeah, I'm not in favor of the numbers thing. Like the example that I thought of when I saw someone say that was when Kenny Dalglish was at Liverpool, Kenny wore number 7, and when he left. He became the manager, and then he retired from being manager. It's not like no one's ever worn the 7. I mean, James Milner wears it right now. But it becomes kind of a big deal when players are signed and like, oh, we're going to give you this number. Like, you can honor him off the field too, but the way you honor that number is you sign a guy, you find someone who's going to break his goals record or break his appearance records, and then, like, he's has to live up to that bar, that standard that Georgie set. Like, yeah, that we're always going to think of 10 as Georgie, even if someone comes along and breaks those records. Like, that's nothing's going to change that. But if you want to honor the guy and honor the number, go out and find the next one.
Right. Like, I don't know. Retiring numbers, I get it in other sports, but it doesn't work in soccer. I think... I'm not big on jersey number things. I think, especially in soccer, your striker should be a number 9 and number 10 behind, blah, blah, blah. Get it. It's to identify positions, but, like, I don't think the player needs to wear that number. I'm not that crazy about it. But I don't think retiring numbers solves it. I just don't find another way to honor these people.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the name on the back of the jersey belongs to the player. The number still belongs to the club.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the way it should be. So whatever you do, please, even if you don't listen, even if no one takes anything away from this show tonight, is don't retire the number 10. That would be what I would say would be bad.
Yes.
The other thing I want to do is, you know, those are the names that were mentioned. Let's talk a little bit about the names that weren't, and we can't draw any definite conclusions about these yet, but these are the guys who were not mentioned so far. So, you know, they did say, other moves could be announced at a later date, and then some of these names may end up going as well. But right now, the names that were not mentioned, goalkeeper, Vega, defenders, Karinga, Lakaweki, Morad, Daikite, Gorski, and Najem. Still recovering from his injury, but looks like he's coming along pretty good. In the midfield, Fernandez, Cole, Taku, Oduro, Poku, and Blake. Blake was on loan out at Real Monarchs. They lost their playoff game, so that loan's over, as far as I know. He's back as Rowdy's property, so it'll be up to them what they're going to do next. And then at forward, Guenzati, Bonomo, Taylor, and Jochen Graf. Have you seen this whole mess with Jochen, by the way?
Yes. I still don't understand what's fully going on.
He's told by the league the day before Reno's first playoff game that he's not eligible. And I've gone through the public information that I have, and I've gone through the not so public information that I have, and I don't see where the rule is. The closest thing I could find was that in the USL's media guide on their website, they have a page or two of rules and regulations. And there's one that says any player who transfers in from another league, and this is where I get confused, because to me another league would be, you know, MLS outside the U.S., you know, whatever, some other league besides USL, not a cross-conference thing. Whatever the deal is, they have to play a certain number of games, including one either before or after the roster freeze date. So that basically you're not loading yourself up with a bunch of MLS guys right before the playoffs and then putting him out there. I mean, Yakin's made 20-plus appearances this year between us and Reno. I don't understand. I don't know the rule. I don't see it anywhere because it doesn't appear to be publicized. If it's that rule, that doesn't make sense because the rule says league, not conference. So I don't get it, and I don't know what the deal is. But let the guy play. I mean, if I remember right, he scored the goal that ended up being the winning goal that clinched the playoffs for him. He was brought in to be a player for them to hopefully get to the playoffs and then perform the playoffs. There's nothing like sneaky underhanded going on. Let the dude play.
Is
like, we're still giant Yakin fans and we're biased, of course, but let the dude play.
Is there something about league appearances for the team he's with? Like, not spread out between the two teams, like the team he's loaned.
It's something about you have to make 5 appearances for the team you joined. And I think it's at least one before the roster freeze date. And I don't know if that's – I haven't gone back to check his appearances. But to me, the way that rule is worded, it still says from another league. It says nothing about, like, within the league or from another conference.
I'm
not sure.
I mean, yeah, it sounds badly worded. But if it's – you have to make an X amount of appearances for the club you're with on a loan – and if he didn't do it, that's on Reno. Like, he's only got 3 appearances, it says on a quick Wikipedia on Reno. So if there's a rule about, I mean, it says he's only got 18 appearances. So where did 21 come from?
I don't know. Maybe we're counting preseason in there too.
Maybe I don't know. I mean, Wikipedia might not be up to date.
Yeah, that's possible too. But, well, maybe that's 18, not including his 3 in Reno. I don't know.
No, it says Reno. Reno appearances 3, goals 1, Tampa Bay Rowdies 15 appearances, 0 goals. But anyway, if he has to reach, you know, X amount and he didn't on Reno, that's on Reno. That's not the league. And I mean, granted, I would love to see Yakin play. I mean, he would have been.
To me, it's on the league if they're enforcing a rule that says league instead of, you know, he didn't come from another league. To me, that part is on them. Like, if it's 3 appearances for a transfer, no matter what, then that's, or, you know, for whatever it is, then that's fine. But the way it's worded in the media guide says a player transferring from another league, and that's not what he did.
I agree. I mean, he came from, you know, east to west, but east to west, but and he should. I think he should be playing, but again, I'm not. I don't know the USL's rules, but
I don't know if USL knows the USL rules.
Probably not. They like to wing it.
This is the hill I'm going to die on. I will create a new meme or GIF every day and tag them in it until either the playoffs end or Reno's out. Or, I mean, I might even do it after the playoffs because I'm too stubborn. It's ridiculous. Let him play. Good Lord, the man needs something good happening this year in terms of stuff on the field. Let him play in the playoffs. All right, I guess we should get back to talking about the guys that are still here.
Yep.
Anyone's in here that kind of jump out as, you know, probably going to move, definitely going to move? Any surprises?
I don't know. I think it's like, just, we'll see. I think round 2 is going to come soon, and I think there's still going to be some more painful changes happening. As long as Dominic Aduro stays, I'll be the happiest man alive.
I mean, you know, Joel Cole's name is on the list, and Neil says right out in a few minutes we'll hear from that, you know, Joe's making his decision. So that's not.
Spoil the whole interview. You got to keep people wanting to so they listen.
We mentioned that in the last game recap because we talked to Joe about it. So that's not like new news. Unless people aren't listening, which is probably a better decision on their part. So anything else before we jump to the interview?
No, let's do it.
All right, so Jake talked to Neil Collins, what, yesterday?
Yes. Wait. Did I say yesterday?
Yesterday,
I don't
day before,
remember.
One of those. No, it was Tuesday because I drove down to Sarasota to pick up my – wait, no, today's Wednesday, right? Yeah, I don't know. I think it was yesterday. Jake talked to Neil for a goodly amount of time, and we've rather than play the whole interview and then come back and try and recap all of it, we've chopped it up into like 10 different clips, about 10 different things they talked about. And I've got my little list here. I feel like we could drop this as a mixtape or something later. The first one, you got it all set and ready to go?
Yep.
All right. So the first one is Neil talking about the what he saw, what he wanted to do when he came in as head coach. Take it away, Neil and Jake.
So if we can start by looking back a little bit, I want to go back to when you took over in May. Yeah. Now that we have some distance, I was wondering if you could give me what your assessment of the club was at that time when you took over. What were some of the deficiencies? I mean, what was the task that you saw ahead of you that you needed to right the ship, and maybe also what have you achieved in that time that you think you've made some progress on?
So when I took the job, I think that the players were at a low ebb. I think we'd been 5 or 6 games without a victory. I think all losses. I don't think we scored a goal in that period of time. Confidence was low. I think we had a squad that was capable of obviously better than that, but obviously needed I felt needed certain things. What transpired in the first month or two after that really changed everything, made it tougher. Something that again very loath to make excuses, because we still had a lot of positives behind the scenes, but we lost, obviously we'd already lost David Najum, but then we expected Kyle Coringa back in the first couple of weeks, and then he ended up a season term injury. We lost Zach Porteous and Lance Rosenblum in the first 2 weeks in the job, who were really important players. So we lost them for three/four months. Then 2 weeks later we lost Marcel, and obviously I came out of the team. Not long after that, Ivan McGallis and Matthias Renares both had to sack. So we had to sack them. So when you add that to a squad that was already at a low ebb, that definitely made us have to make decisions and spend time, looking for players and making roster changes that we didn't envisage. And that certainly was testing. But I do think we'll stand us in good stead. And one thing I would say, Jake, is that for all the changes we actually managed to make, ended up making some positive changes. I think a lot of the players that we brought, whether it be Pap, Diakite, Dominic Aduro, Afim Taku, I thought they had really, really positive impacts. And once we got Tarek Morad here as well and Daniel Vega, I think for the last 12 games, the performances were very consistent. I think the results were inconsistent, but I think I could give you off the record a number of statistics, a number of facts that would show that we were really along the right lines. We were really, but for the final finish, we could have easily made the playoffs, and that wasn't to be. That's something that I need to improve for next season.
So, kind of like what we had kind of said at the time, I think the squad was really having a confidence crisis, it seemed like, and Neil tried to shore that up as best he could. My one big takeaway, and this is the first time I've heard this, actually I've listened to this like 3 times, it's the first time I've noticed this, something Sudol said to me a couple days ago, I think it was Sudol, Diakite's first name is just pronounced Pop. And that Neil says it in there, I'm like, oh, okay, now I know. The E is silent.
Cool story. No, just kidding.
I know, right? bringing all the hot content to you tonight. I don't know. I don't really have a lot to add to that one.
Nope. Let's roll right into clip 2.
All right. Neil talking about his mid-season signings.
After you took over, you signed the rest of the season. You brought in 9 players. Yep. So it felt like you were trying to overhaul. I mean, some of those were necessitated out of injury and whatnot, but it felt like you were trying to overhaul and make this team and the vision that you had for it.
Look, I think, again, you are a knowledgeable fan. I've been pointed out a couple of things that you've wrote, and I think you always do a good job of giving a balanced view Okay, and I always try to never patronise anyone or use any excuses, right? But when it comes to, like, maybe some people say, oh, far too many changes, too many this, too many that. I did not envision, as I say, I did not envision making these changes. I signed 9 players because if I didn't sign players, we would not have had a team out on the field. We would not have had a team. Now, let's just go through it, right? Let's just go through it for the sake of going through it, right? So you lost your starting centre-back because you become the head, because I become the head coach, right? There's one. Marcel Schaefer retired. There's two. So there's your two mainstays of the team. That's fine. They're out. There's two. Then we lost our left-back. Three. David Najum, who was out for the cruciate. Four. Kyle Coringa quite quickly became a season. There's five. Then we had Ivan McGallis and Matias Renares. There's six, seven. I decided to let Jack Blake leave on loan. There's eight. There's eight players, right, who, and I'm probably at the end of the season, Stefano Bonomo out for the season. That's why I signed Jaime Chavez. I did not, for one second, want to be going out and making 9 changes to the squad. And anyone that thinks like I did that because I was trying to revamp the squad mid-season because I didn't believe this, this, and this, that's not true. What it did allow me to do was bring in players that I think were more suited to, and I think actually made us a better team. But it certainly wasn't my plan. It's not something I expect to do again mid-season. But the circumstances were so, you know, extenuating. It really was unbelievable. So then I've just rhymed off 9 names that we just didn't have for large chunks of the season. And when you consider that 2-3 of them were fullbacks, we played 7 or 8 games in a row with the same back four, pretty much, you know, and that picked itself because we didn't have anyone else. So that's where it's been a really unusual season, and that's something where I think the last 12, 13 games are a real fair indicator of where we were once we got a settled team. And again, we were still short. We still came up short, and we came up short because we couldn't really put the ball in the net. And I think, again, it kind of summed up by losing Stefano Bonomo, who was brought in to add that, and then even Georgie at the last month of the season being out again was, and Leon Taylor as well was out with a back injury. It was just that type of season. But that's not to paper over that the collective, you know, the staff, players, everyone, it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had to replace himself twice, basically, because once with Ivan, and then he had to replace Ivan. Whether he intended to or not, there was a kind of remaking of at least the midfield, I want to say, by the type of players that he brought in. We kind of have tended to go with some of these smaller, faster guys, and not that we brought in a bunch of slow guys, but he definitely brought in some bigger, stronger guys and changed up the formation a little bit. So I don't think he set out necessarily to revamp anything, because if your plan in the middle of the season is to bring in 9 guys and change everything you're doing, then you're probably already beyond hope to begin with. But there definitely was some modifications, at least to the way the team operated on the field afterwards.
Yeah, I don't, like you said, and he said that I'm sure it wasn't his intention, because he knew the squad that was here better than, you know, most. And it's sometimes, and usually in most instances, it's easier to work with the devil you know than the devil you don't. So I'm sure the issues here, and sometimes, you know, like the cloth tailor method of, you know, getting assigning a 2 to inject some life and some competition back into the squad. I'm sure right. Part that was, you know, that could have been part of it, but I don't think 9 players was his goal. But there was a lot of injuries and things that needed to, that required it.
I kind of want to go back when we do our offseason recaps, and it feels like it's about a 2-month period from when Stu's fired, Neil takes over, Marcel ends up retiring. You've got to cut loose of 2 players. You've got injuries. I don't know if you've seen a more bizarre set of circumstances in such a short time frame as we had this season. And like Neil said, you don't want to use it as an excuse, but it it is what it is. Like that, it's a thing that happened, and you have to account for that. And there's no way you can plan for that, you know, sequence of events ahead of time.
It's true.
On to the next one.
So I think it's been almost 2 weeks now since the season. And what can you give any insight on what you guys have been working on behind the scenes? I know we have a list of departures already, but what have you guys been working on?
So yeah, obviously, first of all, we've got the list of departures, which was really not a nice job to do. The lads and my time in charge have always given me 100% effort, and everyone's always got their own views and individual players, but every decision was taken with care and thought to making this club better and to helping us perform better next year. We've just been very, very busy planning for next season, but planning for seasons to come, but trying to start putting things in place that are not just for now, but for the long term future. And we're looking obviously at players that can make us better, how we can prepare better, how we can train better, with the new takeover. It's a really exciting thing for us, and we're starting to learn how we're going to work together with the Rays, on and off the field, how that will make us better. So it's frustrating to end the season the way we did, but also it's something that we want to use now the time for me and my staff to really plan and how we're going to do a better job next year.
I was thinking of two things when I listened to this yesterday when I was driving down to Sarasota. Number one, like it's got to be hard enough, and because you've seen it if you've ever watched the NFL show, the Hard Knocks one. But hard enough for a coach to tell a guy, hey, we're going to cut you loose, because they're kind of going into this little area of uncertainty. And it's the nature of the business, but it still sucks when you have to deal with it. But I got to imagine it might even have been harder for Neil, having been a guy who started out the season playing with them, who, maybe knows them differently than a coach would, and knows, some of this stuff, and then having to put that hat on and kind of impartial and some people complaining about, the players being disrespected and whatnot. Number one, not that they want this to happen, but they sign up for this. When you sign with the team, at some point it's going to come to an end. Probably not the way that you hope it does. And the other thing I was thinking of, and I think he talks about this a little bit later on, we've seen players that leave here and go elsewhere and have success, or they've had success before they come here. So the like gut reaction is to go back and blame the coach or blame whatever here as being the problem. But if you really think about it, to me, there's so many other factors that go into whether a player is a success at a certain team. It's the people he's playing with, the where he's living, like family, personal, off the field kind of things. And, I think a player can be successful. Any player can be successful, but it's the right combination of circumstances. So if it's not working out for them here, then maybe it's not such a terrible thing to tell them, hey, we're going to let you pursue other opportunities, because then they go somewhere else and they're successful.
Let's talk about that when we get there.
I really thought that was in that clip. I hope I didn't cut something off on accident.
Let's listen to, we're on clip 4 now, so let's check it out.
I thought we just did 4. Oh, no, that was 3. Okay, yeah, 4.
I read your open letter to the fans, and one thing that jumped out at me is, it's just a tiny word, but you use the word radical about decisions and changes that need to be made. I'm just wondering, what should fans expect to see next year, now that you have a full offseason to, like you said, plan and build things out from the start?
Yeah, I mean, I think the word radical is probably radical in terms of what's been done in the past, and what's going to be done now will be radically different. Again, there were some really, really tough decisions in terms of like players that we let go. And one thing I would say now is that I know one or two of these players will go and do very, very well somewhere else, and people will say that they're proving me wrong and they're proving the club wrong. They're not. They're not proving me wrong. They're proving me right. I just feel that they need to go somewhere else to get, whether it be more game time or different environment, to freshen up, just like we need a fresh impetus of players at this club and change things behind the scenes. Again, Jake, I'm really, really loath to make too many like huge statements, because I think where we're judged is on the field and not by what I see here and now. I just want to try and put together a team, one that will give every ounce of effort from the game one to the last game of the season, every minute of every game. I mean, that's a bare minimum. But on top of that, quality, excitement, entertainment. You know, I want to be able to have a team that can play attacking football and score goals and get fans off their seats. I think that's important. I think where we play and the club's kind of tradition and history demands that. And I think it's something that we've lacked, and I think that's something that we need to add. And I need to do that by adding a variety of different players and having different strings to our bow. You know, some of the staff I've got are very, very good at identifying players and different types of players. I think got to take credit that Shane Roberts and Dominic Aduro, he brought Dominic to my attention. I mean, I think he's done fantastically well. He's only going to get better. I think we introduced Leon Taylor to the team. He's shown his goal scoring record. You know, he's going to have a bright future. So I think, again, I don't want to make any bold statements. I just want to promise the fans that we're going to do everything we can to give them an exciting team, and one that they enjoy coming to watch, and one that wears the jersey with pride, like many players have in the past.
Yeah, I want to get into the stats in a little bit when we get to a certain clip, but there's a lot of changing. There's a lot of change that needs to be made, especially in the offensive side of the ball, and it's not necessarily going to happen by re-signing the same players and telling them to go play harder. At some point, you've got to find some different players, probably, or different solutions, and start plugging in other options.
Oops, sorry, I've had my volume down. Yeah, I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. It's okay that, you know, a certain player didn't work here, this didn't work out, and, you know, players come and go as they find footholds elsewhere, and there's, you know, like you were just saying, there's factors everywhere else, factors across the board. Professional athletics, at a certain point, a lot of it is a mental thing. It's a head game, and I think after everything that happened earlier in the season, a lot of the mental states of our players were shot, and some of them didn't recover, this, that, and the other. Change of scenery is good. You can't blame a player for not working.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no one thing you can point at and say, well, that's why.
Right.
I would say. I don't know. I love it. Everyone is about instantly finding the one reason that, or the one factor that's responsible, and it's never one thing. I know that's quick and convenient for. I'm just going to keep pounding Facebook tonight. It's quick and easy for Facebook posts, but it's never just one thing. There's always a lot of things that go into success and failure. We'll see. The next one, we're on number five now.
Yep.
Neil's long-term vision. All right.
You mentioned planning for the future and looking, I guess, kind of at the bigger picture of things. I think that's something a lot of fans have wished we had seen before in the past. I mean, what does that entail? I mean, is that like signing younger players, focusing more on younger players? I mean, what does that mean to you, focusing on the bigger picture?
Yeah, 100% that, Jake. Like, I think we've had a bit of an imbalance in terms of, it's been great, some of the experienced players we've had have done fantastically well, and they've worn the jersey well and with pride and been fans' favourites. I think there's still a place for that type of player, but I think we do need a younger team, some players that have got huge upside, players that we can coach and develop and make better. I mean, again, for the two players I just mentioned, Dominic Aduro, Leon Taylor, Pat Diakite, three that we brought in. I mean, they're all great age with huge potential for us to coach them, have success with their Audis, ideally, but then also to go on and have careers, you know, in the higher stages, whether it be MLS or in Europe or somewhere else. You know, I want this to be a breeding ground for successful players, where they get a real platform to have success for the Rowdies, but then to go on and have successful careers, you know, away from here. I think people love buzzwords right now, whether it be philosophy, identity. I think there's no point in me saying what that is. I think like people like you will judge that with your own eyes over a period of time. And I think it's important that I try and get players in that can do that and start to give us a sense that other teams know when they come here or when we go what they're going to be met with. And I think that's got to be planned and not just by accident. I think it's got to be planned, and that's what we're trying to do right now, is to plan who we sign to fit that model. So that's the aim, and I think that's the aim, so that this time next year we're not releasing, you know, 10 names and 15 names and starting again. It's maybe 5 or 6 names, or maybe even less than that. And then we're adding 5 or 6 more, and we're maybe selling someone to an MLS club. I think that's ideally what we want to be building, something where it's a bit more sustainable on the playing side.
This is something that we've kind of talked about, and I know it's always been mentioned in the stands, at least the last few years. You know, when Marcel and Joe are gone, is that something that, you know, we're going to see happen, those kind of guys coming in? Like, it's pretty damn cool to say we've gone to Al Lang to watch Marcel Schaefer and Joe Cole play with our shirts on them. But, and Neil says it in there, like, that's not a, you know, that's a way to get fans in the seats for games here or there. That's not a way to win necessarily championships and you know, reach your goals that you want to.
I don't know. Having Marcel Schaefer on your roster is a pretty good way to win a dang championship.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about Marcel. I mean, we can do this right now. I mean, I was looking at stats, and I won't get into some of the other ones yet, but just Marcel's stats alone. Dude still finished with, let me find the whole totals here.
He led us in chance created with the same amount.
Chances created by 10 over the next closest player, who was Afram Taku.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
Nanchoff and Fernandez behind him. And he also, he was still, second, I think, in assist with 4. Like, it's insane that a guy who missed so much of the season because he left still has that high of a spot in your offensive stats. Like, there's a reason why. Like, you know, you can point to you know, well, so-and-so led the team in goals. Well, if you only had 5 or 6 goals, that's not great. Like, you know, not everyone's going to be Cincinnati, where you've got 4 guys in double digits, but not having any guys in double digits is usually a sign you have not done that well that year.
Right. I mean, I also don't, since he's an outlier, don't use them as any kind of example for the way it should look. But I don't mind having, you know, chances created and things like that spread through your offense. But also, we were pretty crap going forward this year, except on the counters at times. We didn't create much. I think the fact that Marcel created more chances and had almost exactly the same appearances and minutes as Taku, it says a lot. Like, also, I am tired of the wings cross it in and this, that, and the other. That's a different story. But you know. But I don't necessarily disagree with Neil. Some big names that are still close to their prime. Like, the difference. One of the differences between Marcel Schaefer and Joe Cole is Joe Cole was 34 when he got here. Marcel was 30.
Yeah, he still had a lot of life left in his legs.
Yeah, you could say, if you say 26 or 27 is your football prime, Marcel still had, you know, some gas left in his tank, and Joe Cole, through injuries and everything else, did not. So if you're going to sign the big-name player, you know, do it smartly, which, you know, if the Rays foray into that between Pat Burrell or Manny Ramirez, is this an indication? Maybe just stay away from the aging greats.
Oh, man, who's going to be the Rowdies version of Vinny Castilla?
I don't even know who that is.
You don't remember when they signed Vinny Castilla from, had a huge year with the Rockies and then did absolutely crap here with the hit show, and then they became Vinny Castilla?
Nope, don't remember that at all.
I want to say it was right around the Burrell time.
I don't remember that.
I look at it and see. But talking about some of the names that the Rays have brought in over the years, and maybe we're not going to endear ourselves to the new bosses, but oh well. I was looking at something the other day, and I was like, oh God, remember Johnny Damon played for the Rays?
But okay, Johnny Damon was solid. He was a great leader, and he did things, and I will die on that hill. But I won't deal with Pat Burrell or Manny Ramirez or anything like that. But the Rays are really good at identifying talent in baseball and creating a BA farm system that constantly can compete. But anyway, let's move on away from that. Youth can be a thing, especially in a league like USL. Neil's right. Let's get into clip six.
Okay.
So you mentioned earlier that sitting down, talking with players and informing them of where their status at the club and if they're staying or not was difficult. I imagine talking with George Ristoff about your decision not to offer him a contract was one of those decisions that was difficult. Can you just talk a little bit about that? What went into that thinking?
Yeah, look, I think with Georgie, everything's been said in terms of his record at the club, his personality, his character. I mean, in terms of teammates go and as far as players that you coach go, he's fantastic. I really don't want to go too in-depth about, because the last thing I want to do with someone like Georgie is talk him down in any way, shape or form. I just think it was a decision that I made for the benefit of the club. In terms of on the field, I think it was a tough decision, but one that I think will prove right for the team. I don't think for someone like Georgie it's right for me to go into the any detail on that. I've spoke to Georgie, and Georgie, like the legend that he is, took it like a man and took it like a proper professional. And we shook hands, and I like to think we remain good friends. I think that Georgie knows that I'm in a position where I have to make big decisions. And one thing I would say is it would be very, very easy for me to have done one or two things. I could have offered him a really, really low deal in terms of salary, just to say that we've offered him something. But I didn't think that was befitting of Georgie. Or I could just have kept him to try and pacify a few fans to say that we're keeping Georgie, Red Rose Grower. But if I don't think that's the best for the team to make us win, then I'm really letting everyone down and I'm really not doing my job. So I'm quite happy to take any criticism for letting go of a club legend, because I think it's the right thing to do to make us better. I think it's the right thing to do.
This whole little section, and I'm not going to say that I'm impressed, because this is kind of who I expect Neil to be, the kind of coach and the kind of guy he is. And I know there's fans out there who are like, oh, tell us why, tell us the reasons. That absolutely 100% should stay between Georgie and Neil, because if you're a player and your coach is out there starts talking about the reasons why he got rid of you or didn't re-sign you, didn't offer you a contract. Like, I don't know, if I'm another player, I kind of like, oh, do I want to go there when this guy might start saying stuff about me when I'm gone? Or if I'm gone, it possibly could affect his ability to sign elsewhere or something else. So I give him full credit for that. And he talked about, I could have offered him a low ball contract just to say that we offered him a deal and he chose to decline it. Like, that's the kind of stuff you do when you're scared of your fans. Neil, obviously he said it right there. He's willing to take the heat. Now you can listen to the words he says and choose to believe whether it's his words or he's, following the company order from the Rays, which I don't think one bit, but people are going to make that decision. And some people are probably going to choose to believe that. There's nothing else he can do but get out here and say, I made the decision. I'm responsible for it. I'll take the heat and the criticism for it. And what happens, happens. So, it's a big decision to make, and also he could have given him, a contract and could have come back and maybe not factored into the plans as much. And now that's a roster spot and money you've tied up in a guy that you're not getting the benefit from, because you didn't plan on using him anyway. So, you know, Neil took the leap, and doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not. I can at least respect the way he went about it. And I'm not saying I disagree with it either, but I at least respect the way he handled it.
I expect nothing less from Neil. Class all around.
Yeah, I mean, we get a chance to talk to him after games and before games sometimes, and this is 100% who Neil is. Like, he's not. This is nothing different than when we talk to him before or after. He doesn't filter anything. He doesn't come from a different perspective. Like, this is full on Neil. This is who it is. All right, Georgie was a big one to talk about. The next one is Joe Cole.
Have you spoken with Joe Cole about his future at the club since the season has ended?
Yeah, like, me and Joe are like best friends, really, ultimately. And Joe's just came off a really long season where he's played a lot of games, probably more than he expected to play. But he's the kind of guy that just loves playing. And he's just going to take some time to think about his decision and think what he wants to do. And he's obviously been a part of the staff as well, so we're always in constant talk about next season. And whether Joe's here or not, he's always going to be a big part of the Rowdies, and particularly while I'm in the job, he's going to play a big role. Whether he's in the States or he's back home in England, he'll always be a close confidant.
The one thing that kind of jumped out to me with that one was he mentioned that he takes some time to rest. He's probably played more games than he expected. So, you know, we kind of speculated going into the season that he may not play as much or feature as much as he had in the past, but he obviously played a ton this year until Neil started to kind of wean him off near the end. So, you know, I wonder if that's, you know, that you could break this down. Maybe that's one of the reasons that got off to the kind of, you know, strong start and then hit that little rough patch was Joe wasn't prepared, maybe mentally, for, you know, didn't, you guys weren't on the same page as far as playing time and stuff like that. And then that's your captain, that's your engine in your midfield, him and Marcel. Like, that's going to have an impact on the way the rest of the team plays.
Yeah, I definitely don't think Joe should have played that many games or anything of the sort. I think we should have been looking to move beyond Joe. Or at least for 70 minutes or so, have a younger player in that role. But yeah, Things don't always work out the way you want.
Next up, Neil gives his thoughts on the ownership change finalized today.
So I wanted to get your thoughts also on this big ownership change. Things like this can cause a lot of consternation among supporters and fans. So I just want to get your impression from the meetings that you've had and the talks that you've had with the Rays ownership since everything's been gone down.
Well, you know, obviously, first of all, with the ownership change, and I'm now one of their employees, you know, it would be obviously likely for people to think that I'm going to say very positive things, but it's the honest truth, and the way that every dealings I've had with them, they've been so inviting, and they've been so excited about the potential with the Rowdies, the culture that they've got at the Rays is something similar to one that we want to develop. I think the biggest things with fans is that they jump to conclusions without any information. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. I think the Rays are going to do nothing but positive things for this club. And I think it's going to give us an extra couple of gears that we can move up in long term, because I think they already run, you know, a successful sports team, and I think they'll be able to put some of those things into place. I think they'll give us the tools to be successful, and I think they'll give us a lot of stability, and I think they'll just build on the great work that Mr. Edwards has already done. I think they are very open and very honest and very transparent, and you can't really ask for more than that. So in terms of the fans' worries and anxiety, from what I've seen in the first month or a couple of weeks, it's going to be very, very positive for everyone involved in the club. It's very easy to be negative when it's an ownership change. And, you know, after the season we've had, I think it'll be very, very positive. And I think it's important that fans always wait to reserve judgment until, you know, a relevant amount of time has passed and By that, I don't mean a couple of weeks. I think it'll take them months and maybe in a year or so to actually find their feet in terms of the inner workings of it and then to build on that.
I could just repeat everything he said. The disclaimer is this, because, you know, we don't ever know what's going on behind the scenes because we're not behind the scenes. But if the things that everyone said at the press conference is the direction, is the plan, is the idea, then I'm very excited for the future and the possibilities. At least the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, I think looks to be, kind of set. I think, you know, you've got some involvement with the city as far as what's going on and things like that. And look, I know a lot of this also comes down to there were staff members who were let go and some people were upset the way it was handled. And I get that because this is one of those weird, I don't say weird, but this is a unique situation where it's not just that we're close to the players and the coaches, but you get to know like the ticket reps and the stadium workers and stuff like that. Unfortunately, this is part of it. And I'm not saying that it's okay or hey, you know, sucks to suck, but it happens. And, you know, hopefully best wishes to all of them. Bill said in his interview with the Business Journal that anybody that's let go, he's going to have a severance package for them. Anybody that didn't make transition to the Rays. So hopefully he follows through with that. And these guys will be taken care of until they can move on to the next opportunity. So, you know, it's kind of best wishes to everybody, I guess.
What's up next?
Next is the relationship with Tampa Bay United and the Development Academy that was announced this year.
Now, as someone who has experience coaching youth soccer in the area, I know you had to do a lot of academy work before you took on this Rowdy's role. I'm curious, when you look at the relationship that the Rowdy's have with Tampa Bay United and the Development Academy now, I mean, what do you think the importance of that kind of relationship is and building that and where it might evolve in the future, do you think?
I think that's going to be big. I think even in my short time, that's one thing in my short time we've managed to improve, and I think it's going from strength to strength. I think it's been a whirlwind 4 or 5 months, and I've managed to touch on the TBU and the Tampa Bay TBU Rowdy side, but I think that's something now in the off-season I'm going to be able to get more involved with. And that's, again, that's a really long-term plan, but I think it's important, because I think it's important that the people that play there, whether they be 10-year-old or 15-year-old or 17-year-old, that they feel that there's a path to becoming a professional at the Rowdies, and they get a sense of what it's like to be a professional, whether it be involved in training from time to time, whether it be involved in like reserve team matches, or whether it be just coming along to watch. Even our coaches getting more involved in their side of things, like going to watch and coaching. I just think in such a big country where it's hard for sometimes some of these soccer players to interact, whether it be professional players or professional coaches, I think we've got to try and bridge that gap and start fostering like good relationships so that we can be seen to be nurturing like the best like talent in the Tampa Bay area and even wider than that in the Florida area. It would be great in the coming years to start producing our own players, and I think the fans would really get behind that. So that's a long-term plan, Jake, but one that I'm definitely wanting to help and wanting to nurture, along with Blake Wagner that's at TBU and other people there that are working hard behind the scenes.
I was thinking the other day, we've gotten some really good examples in the last few weeks that there is a lot of soccer talent in the Tampa Bay area, whether it's Ben Sweat getting a call up to the national team. Julian Green was out there as well. You've got a lot. I just saw it today. Wesley Charpy, who played at USF and from Tarpon Springs, just signed with the new Nashville team in the USL. There's guys out there. So if you don't want to see these guys kind of drifting off to other teams or other locations, you know, we've got to do a good job bringing these kids into this youth setup and this development academy system, because it's going to benefit our team eventually if these if you can move kids onto the pro ranks and onto the senior team. And that in turn is going to make that program stronger as well, because people are going to see it as a possibility to play your way into professional status. So I know that's a big thing that Neil's one of his focuses, because we've seen that since he took over. And I look forward to seeing that kind of grow and develop in the next few years.
And we're up to the final clip.
Yep, last one. His personal view on the season.
Lastly, I'm just kind of interested in what your personal experience, what this whole season has been like for you. I mean, this is not the way you saw it ending in this position, I think. I just want to know, because from the fans' perspective, it's been a wild, crazy year. I can only imagine what it's like been from you. So I'm just curious what this has been all like, taking on all this responsibility for you.
Look, I love the responsibility. I love the job. People ask me, are you enjoying it? And I mean, I've not enjoyed some of the results, and I've not enjoyed some of the circumstances, but I come in today, into work every day, eager to make this team better, because I know that I can do it, and I know that we as a staff and we as a club can do it. I've learned an awful lot, and I'm even more strong in my belief that we can turn this round. There's been a number of factors, some direct and some indirect, that have made it tough. But again, can it be tougher next year? Well, you never know in sport, but I'm going to suggest it won't be. I'm going to suggest that we'll be on a much more level footing. We'll have a much more adaptable squad in place, and we'll change things. And this year stood me in very, very good stead. I would say that one of the biggest frustrations, probably one that people obviously say, is that we've underachieved. But I think that sometimes a bit misguided in a way that, yes, we have underachieved because we're the Tampa Bay Rowdies, but I think, again, when I take a closer look at some of the things, I think we forget that these other teams are out there, and they are like scouting and recruiting from different parts of the world, and they're going and getting other good players. And while we think that we've got a squad good enough to do that X, Y, and Z, it's not always the case, because at the end of the day, whatever anyone's done before is gone in football, and it's irrelevant. It's what you're doing now, and that's why we need to change the perception of the Rowdies. You just go and sign in, whether it be the best USL talent or a couple of designated players. We need to go out and just find a bigger network of players to recruit from, and try and just become a better team and a better club by doing that. So it's exciting, but yes, it's certainly been mixed with frustration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Yeah, the Rowdies certainly have the reputation and the history behind them, unlike other clubs maybe, but it's about doing the work also.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right, Jay. You're spot on.
All right, Neil. Thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure.
Thank you guys for tuning in, for listening in. It's been a one of our longer episodes in a while, but Neil had a lot of good information. So let's wrap it up. We'll be back next week, surely with some more information to talk about as well. Thanks again to Wolfface for the theme music. They're out playing at Ebor tonight. To Shamrock for their sponsorship, to Radio St. Pete, to the Beautiful Game Network, to Mickey Quinn's, and to Roughneck Scarves. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com, the official supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Unused Substitutes, and we'll be back later. See ya. The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the ball around. The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there.